Welcome to Liberty Baptist Church tonight. We are excited about being able to come to you again this evening and bring to you a word from the Lord. We pray that you are tuning in right now. You're settling down, sitting down, and you're ready to join with us in worship as we worship through the Word of God. And we know these are trying times. We know that you have your own fears, anxieties, your own struggles with this. It's affecting everybody in many ways. It's affecting the churches, factories, hospitals, and so forth. So we're praying for each of those and each of you. So we want to ask you at this time that you'll do a couple of things, that you will text a family or friend, let them know to tune in to watch us on our Facebook page. That you will call somebody, and maybe you invite somebody over, of course, keeping in mind the rules of social separation during this time. But we want to ask that you do that. We also ask that you will go to the top of our, Facebook page, and you will hit that thumbs up button, that like button. That will keep you informed as to what we're doing at Liberty, because we will appear at the top of your news feeds. But also, it'll let people know what you've been, watching, and we ask that you will take this this service tonight, and you will post it, repost it to your Facebook page, share it with other people so other people can see and tune in. We are still at Liberty. Our mission is still to reach the world, despite of COVID-19 and our inability to gather under one roof. We are going to do that. We're going to try to reach the world for Jesus. And so we're thankful that we're able to come to you by Facebook tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. You please join with me praying there at your house, in your home, wherever you may be sitting, standing, driving, watching tonight. Join with us in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we need you this very hour. And Father, we again are holy and needy and dependent upon you. Father, we're asking that you will just visit us with a great visitation tonight, not only, Father, in this sanctuary as we stand behind this sacred desk, but, Father, we ask you that, that God, you will just visit each and every person watching, that, God, lives will be touched, lives will be changed, and, God, may great things be done for your glory. And, Father, we're still anticipating, listening, looking, waiting, Father, for testimonies, Lord, to come forth about lives that have been changed from just watching online, Father, and watching from their home or wherever they may view from. And so, Father, we're praying tonight you would just anoint us, use us in your service. I pray you forgive me of all of my sins today. We plead the blood of Jesus. We claim the resurrection power of our Lord tonight. And, Father, we just want to ask you, God, that you will touch our nation, Lord, once again as you've done in days gone by. Father, we need you more than ever. And, Father, we ask you that, God, you would reach down from heaven, and that, God, you will, God, bring healing to this land, both spiritually and physically. And, God, we'll thank you for what you do there. Now, God, we pray you'll use us in your service. I pray, God, you'll put a mighty hedge of protection around us, God. Protect us, Father, from the wiles of the devil. I beg for your mercies and your graces. And Father, we pray you'd shelter us in your love as we draw near unto you. Lord, we love you tonight, and we thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to begin tonight in a couple of different places. I want to ask that you go ahead and turn to Matthew 24, Matthew chapter 24, while I make an announcement or two. Matthew chapter 24. I do want to remind you, if you're watching us, that we do have online giving available. You can find that link on our website and on our Facebook page. Please go there, and if you're part of Liberty and you're a tither and you want to continue faithfully tithing, then go to that link. Or if you're just viewing from another county, another state, whatever the case may be, and you believe in the ministry of Liberty Baptist Church and what we're doing here from this pulpit, and you just want to give and be a blessing, I assure you that we will take that gift of yours, and we will use it for the glory of God and to reach as many people as we can for the name of Jesus. So go there on our Facebook page or on our website, and you will find how to participate in our online giving. But we're excited this week excuse me, Sunday is Easter, and we're very excited about Easter, a very special time of year. And I tell you this, I know we can't gather here under one roof in one building and worship as a body because of our current situation, but I'm not going to let it rob me of my joy that I have over Easter and what Jesus has done for me. And I pray you don't let it either. We're still Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We're going to join together, and we're going to worship in song. We're going to preach, Lord willing, on the resurrection of Jesus. And so we are excited about that. We have life because He lives today. So tonight, what I wanted to do, I wanted to bring a word on Bible prophecy in COVID-19. And as I got focused in on what the Lord was having me to study and to bring tonight, I really should probably entitle this Bible Prophecy and Pandemic, because COVID-19 is just one of many pandemics that there have been all throughout time. We've seen many, many different plagues throughout the Bible, throughout the Bible history. From the Exodus in Egypt to David when he took a census without the leadership of the Lord. So we see it in Bible history, but we also see it in world history. So pandemic, this is not new to society. In fact, there has been in the past greater pandemics than COVID-19. I realize our technology, our ability with science and medicines has probably limited this from what it truly could be or would be if this was 100 years ago. So I'm not focusing specifically on COVID-19 because the Bible doesn't talk about the coronavirus or COVID-19, but it does talk about pandemics. It does speak of plagues. Now, I want to speak about this because a couple of reasons. I believe that it's very... I believe the Bible speaks of it prophetically speaking. But also, as I mentioned briefly Sunday, I believe there's two extremes on Bible prophecy. I believe there's one where Bible prophecy is totally ignored, where preachers are standing in the pulpit and really they're ignoring the true expository preaching of God's Word altogether, and they're preaching on things like how to have a better dating life, how to have a good life now, and things like that. I believe that that prophecy is totally ignored. But I believe, on the other hand, there's those that go to the extreme with it. I've mentioned I've been watching this preacher from Eastern Tennessee who has a very large prophetic. He has a large prophetic ministry. That's what his ministry is built upon. But he has a large following. And it seems that after every major world event like 9/11, and then now COVID-19, after these events happen, he comes on his YouTube channels and his website and so forth, and he suddenly has these paintings and these drawings of these events, and he says that he was given those paintings and those drawings years and years and years before they happen. Now, this comes out after these events take place. And my question is, why didn't you reveal those paintings and details before these events took place, and we could have stopped all of these events from taking place if you were a true prophet? So he has a worldwide ministry and a worldwide preaching tour, and he sells prophecy books left and right based upon his extreme right-wing prophetic takes on everything. He could find a bug in the grass and make a prophecy sermon out of that bug in the grass, literally, I have seen. So my question is this, and what we've got to understand about prophecy as you join in and follow. The Bible teaches us that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. I want you to remember that. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So what that tells me is that when I'm studying prophecy in the Bible, particularly prophecy that's not yet fulfilled, because there's much prophecy within those 66 books of the Bible, but much of it has already been fulfilled. There's still a lot that's not been. So when we're speaking of prophecy in the Word of God, particularly prophecy that has yet to be fulfilled, I want you to always keep in mind the end of prophecy, as we talk about it, study it, and preach it, should be the testimony of Jesus. Well, you take these people, these extreme prophetic preachers, that's what I would call them, that's Sedaris terminology, it seems as if, and indeed it's true for the one I'm talking about, he never comes around to talking about Jesus. He never comes around to presenting the gospel. Has a nationwide television show, and yet never comes around to presenting the gospel of Jesus, that man is a sinner and can't save himself, that Jesus died and rose again, and if we repent and put our faith in him, we can be saved from hell and the wrath to come. He never does that. Well, remember what I told you, according to the book of Revelation, that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And so if we're going to talk about prophecy, that is the testimony of Jesus. It's going to have to come back to Jesus. And what I want you to see about Bible prophecy, and as I was praying about this and thinking about this, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if we are to study prophecy and preach prophecy, what's the point? What is the main thrust of all Bible prophecy? And here it is. And we're going to see it from Jesus himself. The main thrust of Bible prophecy is this, is for you to get ready. And for me to get ready, because Jesus is coming one day. And there's Bible prophecy yet to be fulfilled. In fact, when we look at the Bible prophecies of the birth of our Lord, some of those told thousands of years before Jesus was born, 500 years before Jesus was born, Bible prophecies about where he would be born, the time, the manner, and so forth like that. When we look at all of that, the whole point of all those prophecies in the Bible was for God's people to get ready, that there was a coming Messiah. Well, I want you to know that today we're looking for a coming Messiah. He came the first time, born of a virgin, died for my sins and your sins, and was buried, and 3 days later rose again. Well, he's coming again one day. And what we need to learn from this tonight is we need to get ready. For the church, it means we need to repent of all of our sins, confess it to the Lord Jesus, as the Bible instructs us to, and then sell out to the Lord, lock, stock, and barrel. Give everything we have unto him. Just lay it all on him and allow him to lord over us and to lead us in life's way, and become a servant and a minister for the Lord Jesus Christ for the rest of our living days. For those who are unsaved, those who have never been saved, not those who have been baptized, not those who have never joined a church, but those who have never repented of their sins and put their faith in Jesus Christ and been truly born again. For those who are lost, if you died today, you do not know where you'd spend eternity. And what Bible prophecy means to you is that you need to be saved today and get ready, because the end is coming. And I don't know when that is. No man knows when that is. Only the Father in heaven knows when that is. But the end is coming, and we've got to be ready for when Jesus comes. So I want us to look just at a few passages tonight. Now, there's many things that I want you to, there's many things we could talk about as a result of this coronavirus, but I'm going to just focus specifically on pandemic. When we think about during the time of tribulation, the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation tells us that after the church is raptured out of here, a lost and unbelieving world is left behind. There's chaos, death, and destruction that's falling upon all the world. When that is happening, the Bible teaches us from Daniel and Revelation that there will be a revived Roman Empire. That Roman Empire ruled the whole world. And this revived Roman Empire in end times will rule the whole world. It's already moderately pieced together. Any Bible student knows it's moderately pieced together by this European Union. But with that revived Roman Empire will come a one world currency. Okay, this is the way Rome operated, and this is the way in the time of tribulation, this one world empire will operate. Now, we saw a hint of that with the euro, where that one currency uh, was uh, they tried to push it so that it would be used in all of Europe, and it's not done as they had thought it would. So it's no surprise to us that the Federal Reserve has in recent years talked about going to a digital dollar or digital currency. And so basically you would have no need to go actually physically to the bank and get checks cashed and withdraw money and et cetera, et cetera. We would all have digital currency that, of course, is backed by our bank and what we have in the bank. I found it very interesting as they were trying to pass this final relief bill, if you will, this congressional relief bill, that the House version of this bill, it included paying people with this digital currency. Now, it didn't make it in the final relief bill, but the question was, how are we going to get out so many checks to so many people in a short amount of time? And even now they're saying that it could take up to August or September before everyone gets their checks, businesses, individuals, et cetera, et cetera. And so one of the things that was introduced in the House version of that economic stimulus bill was that we do the digital dollar or digital currency, and we'll bring that into existence. So what's so significant about that? Well, it's interesting to note that that's exactly what China did during, and maybe what they're still doing through this COVID-19, because currency was contaminated with the coronavirus. And so even our Federal Reserve, they even talked about banning currency, all currency coming from Asia and those countries over in Asia, and maybe even let's just go to the digital dollar to limit the spread of the COVID-19 virus. Now that's a lot, but I just lay that all out there to say this. That's looking like a one world currency that will come into play during this one world government in the time of tribulation. And so I just say all that to say that that's just setting the stage for the coming of our Lord. So we could talk about many different aspects, of Bible prophecy and what COVID-19's done, but I just want to look at the aspect of it being a plague, if you will. And so look over in Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, particularly we're going to be looking at verse 7. But I need to tell you what happens here in Matthew 24. So what happens is Jesus and his disciples, they go out on a walk, and they see the walls of Jerusalem. And Jesus says, you see all these stones? And he's speaking about these huge blocks of stone that make up the walls. And he says, I want you to look at these things, because he said there's coming a day when there will not be one of these stones left unturned. In other words, these huge walls, all these stones are going to be torn down. And what he is speaking of, he's speaking of the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70 that's coming in the near future, when Jerusalem is going to be so destroyed that there won't be one stone of those city walls left upon top of another, but they'll all be torn down. So the disciples think, because these stones and this wall is so massive and so sure, the disciples think he's talking about the end. And so they ask him three questions. They said, when is this going to take place? What's going to be the signs of your coming? And when is the world coming to an end? And Jesus says, no, you got it all wrong. You got it all wrong. He said, that is not to be your focus. But here's what I want you to do, he says. He says, number one, I don't want you to let any man deceive you. And then in the rest of Matthew 24, what he does is, at the beginning of Matthew 24, he shows us some signs of the times and of current events, but they also overlap and go into things that are going to happen in the tribulational period, which is a time when the church is not here. Remember, Jesus is coming back for his people unannounced. There'll be no, he won't be on Doppler radar like we see coming storms. There'll be no news flash on television. Nothing has to take place for Jesus to come for his people. Everything has been done. Everything has been fulfilled. We're simply watching and waiting for him to come. So after he comes for his, During the tribulational period, these things Jesus talks about in Matthew 24 are going to unfold. But look in verse 7, Matthew 24, verse 7. So he says several things are going to happen. He doesn't want us to be deceived. And he talks about wars and rumors of wars. But he says in verse 7, "And nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places," in various places, the King James says there. So we need to look at what Jesus has said. So he's told us that there's going to be nations rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. He's just speaking of those wars and rumors of wars. Well, we live in a time where it takes no prophetic wizard or genius to make an announcement that there's wars and rumors of wars today, that nations are coming against nations, and that kingdoms are rising against kingdoms. That's already taken place. It's happened all through history. But what we are going to see is that it's going to increase the more and more the closer we come to the coming of the Lord. So that's no surprise. But let's move on in verse 7. He says, "There shall be famines." Did you know that just in recent weeks, in recent months, really along about the time COVID come onto the scene, that there was a plague of locusts has hit Africa, which it's not unusual for Africa to have locusts. Those insects that devour all the crops, and they come in by the hordes, literally, and just in a few hours can eat and consume every crop that there is in the land, totally destroy the crops. Well, Africa has had hordes and hordes of locusts, and they have experienced a famine and are experiencing famine greater than what they usually do as a result of this invasion of all of these locusts. And so there's going to be famines. We're going to see that the more and more. But look at this, and pestilences. Here's where we're talking about pandemic at, is in these, when we see that word, pestilences. And earthquakes in diverse places. I fully expect, I know earthquakes are part of the world news today. I expect the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the greater earthquakes are going to, the frequency of earthquakes are going to take place. Now Jesus shares these things. But then he says this. He says right there at the end of verse 7, or beginning in verse 8, "All these are the beginning of sorrows." All these are the beginning of sorrows. That word sorrows literally is that literal word for birth pains. So when a woman begins to go into labor, even sometimes long before she goes into labor, she can have Brixton Hicks contractions, which... I'm not a doctor, but it's like fake contraction. She's not actually in labor, but it's a contraction that's very similar to labor contractions. But when a woman goes into labor, that doesn't mean she's having the baby then. It means, not generally speaking, it means that a baby's coming at some point. But generally, when a woman, the first time she has a contraction and labor pains, she doesn't have a baby right there and then. But the baby is definitely coming and on its way. And so what Jesus is saying, when we see these things, that doesn't mean the end is now. But he says it's the beginning of birth pains, that the baby is very soon to follow. And so we see that pestilence is part of that. Now, let me say this. COVID-19 has rather shocked all of us. Certainly it has. But in reality, it should have shocked none of us, because we know this is the world in which we live today, that these kind of viruses and plagues are part of the world in which we live today. And we should have fully been expecting something like this. And not only should we have fully been expecting it, but if this thing clears up and it goes away, and we can remove ourselves from social isolation and social distancing, and life returns to normal, if all of this goes away, we need to fully keep in our mind that things like this can happen again. It may not be COVID-19, but this is the world in which we live. And according to the Word of God, pandemics or pestilences are going to be part of this world in which we live in, particularly as the coming of the Lord draws near, because when the Lord comes back, and tribulation begins to fall upon all this, all the earth, God is going to use pestilence, or let me say pandemic, to bring judgment upon all of the unbelieving world that is left behind. So what we're seeing now is simply setting the stage for the coming of Jesus. So I want to ask you, are you ready? Are you ready for the coming of our Lord? Now, you can either turn there or write this down on a notepad at home, but turn over to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 6. There's something very interesting in Revelation 6. Revelation chapter 6, verse 16. I'm sorry, Revelation chapter 6, verse 8. Revelation chapter 6, verse 8. Revelation chapter 6, verse 8. Now, these are the Revelation 6 and these first few verses are the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Now, these horsemen don't appear on the scene until the church is raptured out. But when the church is raptured out, sometime immediately hereafter, these four horsemen show up on the scene. I can't help studying them. Think about my grandpa. Said he was saved when he was a young boy, I think maybe 12 years of age. I'm running a rabbit trail, but you're tuned in watching, so I'm going to run it just for a minute because it's dear to me. But as a young boy, he went to a revival meeting, and he said the preacher, an old-time preacher, man of God, this would have been around 1933, he had on overalls and he was barefooted, my grandpa was. Went to church that night for that revival meeting and he said that the preacher that night preached on the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And he said he preached it so hard and so real that he said in his mind and in his heart he could hear the pounding of hoofbeats coming after him. And it so scared him, he got under such conviction that night in that church, it so scared him that he went out the back door of that church running. And there was a trail that come up the mountain to go in the door of that church. And when you come out of the church and started down that trail, you went a little ways down the ridge, and the trail did a big switch back to the left, turned hard left. And he said he was running so fast that night that he missed that turn, and he ran straight off slap into a briar patch trying to get away from conviction and get away from the Lord. But it was this text that the Lord used to bring him to conviction. The next night he come back and he got saved by God's grace. But here in Revelation 6 verse 8, I want you to know something very interesting about pestilence. Excuse me. And I looked and behold a pale horse. Now remember, these are events that are going to unfold during the tribulation. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger, that would be famine, with hunger, and with death, that word literally in the Hebrew is pestilence, and with the beast of the earth. Now, this is a very interesting text for us. But you need to write down Revelation chapter 9. Write down Revelation chapter 9. Because in this verse here, we see that during the tribulation, one-fourth of mankind is going to be killed by sword, by famine, and by pestilence. And then that last part, by beast of the field, we'll look at that in just a moment. And over in Revelation chapter 9, we see again some of these judgments being unsealed. And we see that one-third of mankind is killed by pestilence and these various things. And so through pestilence and these things mentioned, half of the world's population is killed during the tribulational period. And so God is going to use pestilence as part of his judgment upon unbelieving mankind. Now, let me get you to notice just that last phrase, if you will, but one of the things that the Lord is going to use to kill one-fourth of mankind is he's going to use the beast of the earth. Now, this is real interesting. Some of our best Bible scholars through history have written and have talked about how God is going to take the beast of the earth, animals, wild animals, and how he's going to allow them during this time of tribulation to turn on man. And they are going to be one of these tools, and I don't know what kind of animals God's going to use, but these old Bible scholars, prophetic scholars, true Bible scholars, not Bible prophecy preachers trying to sell a book or get an offering through TV, but they all believe, these true Bible scholars believe that the beast of the field are actually going to be one of God's tools that are going to be turned on man and will help in killing 1/4 of all the earth during the time of tribulation. Now that's Bible. It's pretty plain right there. But one of the interesting things that I noticed there when I see that the Lord is going to use the beast of the earth to destroy man, I was researching today and reading, and I understand that scientists are up in the air about this. I realize that this at this point as I say what I'm about to say. But they believe that this coronavirus came from the same place that many other coronaviruses in the past have come from, like the swine flu, the bird flu, and things like that, come from various animals. But they believe this one come from some of those wet markets in these Oriental countries where they sell things, exotic species to eat, like bats and monkeys and things like that. Now, I know bats and monkeys are really not exotic, or they're not exotic to me. They're pretty common if you watch National Geographic, but I'm not going to sit down and have me a big bowl of bat stew, I can tell you that. They think, scientists believe today, COVID-19 come from one of those wet markets in China, in some of those areas, where this disease was contracted from some of those animals, bats, monkeys, and just a host of animals that are sold, rats, things like that, that are sold in these markets. And so all I'm trying to say and what I'm trying to get you to see is this, is that God is using these things we see happening around us today to prepare us and the world for the things that are to come in days ahead. So here in Revelation chapter 6, verse 8, we see God's going to use beasts of the field to help kill 1/4 of the population of the earth. And so we see that a pandemic can very well be part of that. They say the Spanish flu back in 1917, 18, it killed 1/4 of the world's population. So this is not unheard of, nor is it uncommon, nor is it an impossibility. But we know it's not only a possibility and not only a probability, but it's going to happen in the time of tribulation. So again, over in Revelation chapter 9, you'll see where God uses pestilence. So between Revelation chapter 5 and Revelation chapter 19, we see that God uses a pandemic to bring judgment upon an unbelieving world and to kill many that are alive during that time of tribulation. So what does all of that mean to us today, Pastor? What does all of that mean to us today, Preacher? Well, here's what it means to begin with, that main thrust. It means that we need to get ready. And church, listen, let me speak to you. This is a time, now is a time, for us to stop playing church. And I pray that when COVID-19 is over and gone and it's no longer in the world, I pray that day comes, and I pray when that day comes, that the church will not get back to business as usual. But I pray that every church that has made, every Bible-believing church, I should say, I pray that every Bible-believing church will be a revival church. I pray we'll not be soon forgetful about how God has sustained us and kept us and brought us through and how God held us up with the power of His right hand. I pray we won't forget how God has delivered us so many times in our lifetime, particularly starting with His miraculous deliverance from sin and death by saving our wretched souls. And so I pray every Bible-believing church will be a revival church after this is over with. I pray we'll not be soon to forget. I pray we'll be found ready That there'll be no spectators when we gather together as God's chosen people, but we'll all be participators as we gather together and bless and glorify and worship His holy name. I pray there'll be a renewed interest, and I pray that we will newly cherish the gathering together of brothers and sisters, the singing of the songs of Zion from our choirs, and then that we'll truly cherish the preaching of God's Word. We'll be eager to hear what God has to say out of heaven to His people. So I pray we'll use this message of prophecy to get ready, because Jesus is coming. Are you ready? If He comes right now, are you ready to meet Him in the air, face to face? Well, and for lost people who are watching, for someone who's lost, that lost man, woman, boy, or girl who's watching tonight, you've never been truly saved and born again, I want to ask you, do you need to be saved tonight? Are you ready to be saved? Because Jesus is coming. And so Bible prophecy and pandemic teaches us this. And I want to be clear, you can't find COVID-19 in the Bible. But you can find pandemic, you can find pestilence and diseases. And so I want you to carry away tonight from Bible prophecy and pandemic this truth, that this is part of God setting the stage. This is part of God preparing the hearts of the world and His people, that Jesus is coming soon, and as soon as He comes, the tribulation will unfold, the 7 years of tribulation. It will fall upon all of the earth and upon all believing mankind. The stage is set. It's ready for the rapture of the church at the coming of the Lord. And then those birth pains will lead in to the birth of the judgment of God upon an unbelieving world. So if you've never been saved, then I pray tonight you will bow your head. You will confess your sins to Jesus, not to man, but to Jesus. And you will repent and put your faith in Him to be Lord and Savior of your life. Let's go to Him in prayer. Our Father God, we do thank You for Bible prophecy. But Father, we realize tonight as we stand square and firm upon Your Word that You give us Bible prophecy, particularly, Lord, concerning things yet to happen. You give us Bible prophecy, Lord, not that we may be some prophetic geniuses or wizards or nothing of the sort, but that, Lord, we may be able to make our hearts ready for the coming of the Lord. And Father, I pray tonight as we look at Bible prophecy and pandemic that we'll use these truths that pestilence and disease, pandemic, is part of things to come in days ahead. And so for us to experience it while we are here, the church, while we're here and we're alive and remain, it's no strange thing unto us, because, Father, You're just getting things in place. You're just putting players in position. You're just getting things in order. And these are just the beginning of labor pains. For one day You're going to come, and then, Father, the scene and stage will be set and tribulation will unfold upon an unbelieving world. So, Father, we pray tonight. We have taken Bible prophecy, and we have pointed people to Jesus. And, Father, I pray if there's anyone who's not ready, that they'll get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, because Jesus is coming soon. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. In His name we pray and look. Amen. Join us Sunday morning at 10 a.m. as we celebrate Easter here at Liberty. We love you, and we're praying for you tonight. See you then.